C4. Number 2A.
Yesterday we saw that the modern concept of science is a structural concept of science. And if we want to investigate the textbook as a structure, then naturally we have to use a structural concept of science. Therefore, we also have to use those methods that are adapted for an investigation of a structure, methods that would show structure and can see structure where structure is. And furthermore, in order to do that, we would have to have a structured consciousness, a consciousness that is first being structured according to the categories of science. Because only like can perceive like. That's an old knowledge of the Greeks. So that structure can only be perceived by a structural consciousness. As long as we have an atomistic thinking and know only our synonymous term atomistically, we can never see the structure in the textbook. Therefore, if we investigate the structure of the textbook, we will have to see that we change our consciousness from an atomistic sense to a structural sense. Now, we know that the Christian Science textbook has never been acknowledged to be a scientific book by the investigators of the various sciences. All the intelligent people outside of Christian Science, like the theologians, who were very earnestly and sincerely interested in the textbook, always found that the textbook is not scientific. Perhaps I can read you one or the other statement from thesis on the Christian Science textbook. I read you one that is rather clear on the general thought that we encounter in the theological field and also in the fields of other science. In a thesis on the theology of Christian Science in the late 20s, I go back to that age because afterwards I want to compare it with today. It is written right at the beginning of the thesis, and I tried to read it. I have translated it into English, and I don't know how English this English is. But somehow you will understand it. It says, in spite of the fact that Christian Science calls itself again and again to be a system, there is nothing systematic in the construction of its thoughts and comprehension. The so-called textbook, Science and Health, is an omni gatherum of aphorisms, which are not interrelated in an understanding way. Can you see what the critic says? And this is what you hear over and over and over when discussing the textbook with intelligent people. I mean intelligent people, those who know how to approach a textbook, how to read a textbook, that they will always say, this textbook calls itself a science and it is not a science. Why? It calls itself to be a system, but the system is nowhere explained. It calls itself to be a system, and yet all what you find are unrelated facts which are repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated, always in various ways. Or as this man says, they are aphorisms which are not related. So this is a very strong criticism, but you can ask yourself, can the Christian Scientist answer this criticism? I ask this question because you can ask yourself, or you can make tests among your friends who are Christian Scientists and test them if they really can see the textbook as a system and as a science. as a presentation of truths that are interrelated, that have order? Or are they actually reading the textbook as an omni gatherum of aphorisms? Are they not just single, big truths, atomistic truths? How could you test that? You can test yourself by asking if it is a textbook and I can see of that textbook in a structural way, then do I know what is, for instance, the order of the chapters in the textbook? And if I can know the order, I mean by heart, not by reading the table of contents on the first page of the textbook. And if you can say, yes, I can tell you what is the first, second, and so on until the 16th chapter, then ask yourself, do I see why they are in that order? Couldn't they be in another order? You ask yourself that question. If you can answer that satisfactorily, then you have a structural or at least a linearly ordered concept of the textbook. If not, you know that we have not a structural concept and therefore a scientific concept of the textbook. You can go a step further and say, do I know how the subject of each chapter starts? What is the proposition at the beginning of a chapter? Do I know how that proposition is developed as the text goes on? And do I know by this uninterrupted chain how the chapter climaxes at the end? What is the proposition at the beginning? What is the climax at the end? How is the proposition brought to the climax at the end? Do I know that order of thought, the line of thought, the spiritual reasoning of it? If you cannot answer that, then you know that you have not a structural concept of the textbook. So it is not just stating that where the general thought of Christian Science is, and that the general thought of Christian Science actually has not a structured scientific sense of the textbook, but you can test it. Well, you just go and ask sometimes on a nice tea party which you have with your Christian Science friend, just so in between, and say, by the way, would you know what is the first chapter? What is the second? What is the third? What is the fourth? What is the fifth? What is the sixth? And test them out. They have read the textbook for ages. And I would bet that in 99% they do not know. And if they know it, they have a good memory. Because if you ask them the second question and ask them, do you know why this order is an irresistible, a logical, divinely logical order, then I can say 100%, I can say they do not know. They can't know. Because they have not been trained in what? They have not been trained in those most fundamental aspects of structural science which is necessary in order to understand the textbook as a structural whole. Namely, they are not trained in structural logic. They use their common old logic. They are not trained in structural logic. Second, they do not know the language of spirit, the language of the capitalized terms. That's why perhaps you yourself, when you were preparing for this week during the winter and were trying to read any chapter in the textbook and see the layout of that chapter, therefore reading with your spiritual sense, with the language of spirit of the seventh synonymous term, you may not have been able to see how the subjects break, where they break in the chapter, where the tone changes from mind to spirit and where it changes from spirit to soul. This is only because the language of spirit is not structured enough and tangible enough within one's consciousness. Then third, we must see that these critics that say that Christian Science is not the science cannot be blamed, because Christian Science has never given them an answer. They have only given an answer and said, no, what Mrs. Eddy wrote is science, but they have never shown them why it is science, what is science about it, why it is scientific, what is the system of it, what is the structure of the textbook. So we should be a bit patient with our critics, because they only voice honestly what most of the Christian scientists suppress, namely that very fact which you see over and over with honest Christian scientists, that they studied the textbook for years and years earnestly, devotedly, have seen practically sentence by sentence what the sentence means, and when they have finished the textbook, there comes in a kind of sense which says, what the heck is it all about? What is the overall meaning of that textbook? They more or less can say, yes, I have understood the aphorisms. And I have seen that it is actually an omni gatherum of aphorisms. But what the heck is it all about? Is that too strong, what the heck, or no? Is that swearing already, or
no?
I got it from my friends. So you know who my friends are. Yeah. So can you see that only then, if we first can understand the textbook in its science, system, and structure, that only then really we can expect that we can answer these questions. So I refer to another quotation from a theologian that was written only a few years ago, when referring really to my structure book. He wrote and said, anyone who knows Mrs. Eddy's chief work, Science and Health, fairly intimately, anyone who has tried to read it as a coherent whole, you see, the thinker, they tried to read it as a coherent whole, not as an omni gatherum of aphorisms. So that anyone who has tried to read it as a coherent whole, dash, and has failed, because he finds the author thinking circuitous. Is that the right pronunciation? Circuit? Circuitous and repetitive. And repetitive, that's what most feel, that she repeats itself and repeats itself. It's always the same thing. Mortal mind is the cause of all disease. Mortal mind is the cause of all this inharmony and so on. And finds it repetitive. And because her style seems inexact, and the construction of her book completely unsystematic. See, that's the general impression a thinker gets. Such a one is astonished when he learns that there are people who want to prove exactly the opposite. So can you see that he says, and I know that man, he's very much interested in Christian Science. Actually, he went to Christian Science Sunday School and then left it and studied theology and is now quite a famous figurehead in Europe. And he always tries somehow to help the Christian scientists to make their ideas known in the Protestant churches. So he is in earnest about it. But he always says, well, the whole textbook is, as he says, completely unsystematic. So even with a good will, with a good motive, good motivation, these people can't understand the presentation of the subject in the textbook. And because we are Christian scientists and feel we have to defend Mrs. Eddy through against every criticism, we do not write if we just protect her and say, no, what the textbook is science, and what the textbook is system, and she was a great scientist. Yes, she was, but if we can't show why, then our words are vain for the other people. They are just vain. They just feel we are a lot of dumbbells trying to say we are scientists and inwardly not to be scientists. So I feel we really have a great responsibility to show that Mrs. Eddy's textbook is science, but we can't show it unless we really have a scientific consciousness, a structured consciousness, which can, so to say, analyze that textbook in its science. So it is not enough to say, because we study Christian Science, that we are scientists. I think only then are we scientists, when we have a really scientific consciousness. When we therefore reason scientifically and not read science. We are not the scientists because we read science. Doesn't matter how many years we read science, that doesn't make us a scientist. We have to think scientifically, we have to reason scientifically, we have to use scientific methods. And this is really what perhaps this year is stressed mostly in my teaching, scientific methods. You know, Mrs. Eddy makes a statement in prose work that science, Christian Science, is revolutionary. That the science must be revolutionary. And therefore, we must see that we are in a constant revolution. That we are never satisfied with what we know, and that we feel, now I have studied this or that and the other, and I have results of my research, and now I'm happy I got that. We always should be in a state of asking ourselves, do I see science clearly? Is this really science? And be constantly in the state of being willing to go forward and forward and forward. Now, in a science that is revolutionary, we must be aware that it is not only the subject itself, the object that is presented, that is revolutionary, but also the method which we use in order to approach the subject is revolutionary. And I think we have seen that over the last perhaps 9 years very much. It seems as if 1966 would have been a turning point, and that from that point on so many new subjects have been brought to our notice and to our consciousness about Christian Science and about the textbook. We have begun to see the oneness in each chapter of the textbook. We have seen the dimensions in the textbook, therefore the levels. We have been studying the laws on the levels, and suddenly began to see, instead of just saying that God has laws and that there are laws of God, we began to ask, what are these laws? How can we define them? Where do they apply? And we had a great period of investigating laws. Then we investigated structure, we investigated dimensionalism, we investigated the cybernetic sense of Christian Science. We had text interpretation, we had matrix and matrices. You see, it seems as if from 1966 on, somehow a terrific, the floods were just pouring forth, the floodgates of heaven or the floodgates of the textbook were opened, and new streams of thought were flooding out, always showing us the textbook in a bigger and bigger way. And in this revolutionary period that we have gone through over the last 9 years, and which I feel is coming now a little bit to a stop, to a point of consolidation of what we have been seeing, and perhaps we are now meeting a few years of consolidating, where we are not going to present new subjects, but really see what these new subjects are, what they mean for our life, to get a deeper sense of it, a more tangible and practical sense of it. But this implies a revolution in method, and to see that also our approach to this subject must be revolutionary. Therefore, I want to try out one of these methods tomorrow. Namely, I want to make an experiment with you, because most of you have a fair knowledge of what we have been teaching over the last 9 years. You have a fair knowledge of the system, a fair knowledge of the levels, a fair knowledge of text interpretation, a fair knowledge of matrix, fair knowledge of the synonym, so that I can try for one day tomorrow an experiment which I think will be successful and show you that if we change our method or train ourselves in the new method, in the structural method, to approach the science of being the infinite one, that we can see that we also could be used as a channel for revelation and therefore see that what Mrs. Eddy presented was not only a revelation, but the revelation how each one can be the revelator. The old method of approaching the subject of Christian Science was really usually that we went out from situations that were mostly negative. We went out from the proposition that we are living in a material universe, that this material universe is inhabited by lots of people with human minds, and the human mind is really funny, and therefore doesn't make much sense. And so we were approaching the proposition of material universe, including all those funny people with their funny minds, and trying to put sense into it by lifting thought higher and higher and higher. You see, we use, so to say, the metaphysical approach, going out from the material and negative picture of the universe, then using the metaphysical approach by seeing what is behind it, reasoning actually from matter to idea, which is always wrong, which is always wrong, and with the hope that we would find the nature of being and that this nature of being would help us and would solve our problems. Finding out that here and there this method would solve our problems just for the one and only purpose that we would have for each problem solved, 10 other problems arising, and that we are right at the same point as we were before, that we had again a problem and that we had to again find to try the idea behind the problem and try to solve it. It is the method that Adam used, or that generation used, namely it's the method of tilling the soil, of thought tending spiritually upward so as to correct the material concept. This is the method of the Adam dream of tilling the soil, going out from imperfection and trying to engraft or graft upon imperfection perfection. And this is the old metaphysical approach. The perfect way is naturally the way of science. The way of science is the deductive way from a principle. The deductive way would go out from the one infinite principle. It would not consider the material problem at all. It would not consider the human problem at all. It would put it right behind in a corner so that we don't see it, that we don't listen to it, that we don't argue with it, and we would turn right to the standpoint of the one divine principle and reason from that principle. But though that is science, or the scientific standpoint, and has been used mostly in the modern schools of, say, the Bicknell Young School and their students, we have seen that this alone doesn't yet make science science. To take the standpoint of the one principle and deduce from principle and to interpret the universe from principle needs a structural sense of that principle, and not just a linear deduction. A linear deduction, because God is good, His creation is good, so man is good, and because God is harmonious, the creation is harmonious, and everything is harmonious. This is a very simple line of deduction. Has nothing to do with the modern concept of science, which is structural, and therefore only a structural deduction from the one principle really has the meaning of a science. So long to see that science is deducing from principle, as mostly used in Christian science, isn't yet science. We have to see that we need a structural sense of this science, and that brings me to a completely new question, namely to the question, what actually is a structural deduction instead of a linear deduction? So I start with a new subject, and I think we first make a stop here.